Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29. The Lord's response. We've seen the people responding, and now we get the Lord's response to how the people, the Israelites, had reacted to the giving of the law. And the appearance, the startling appearance of the of God upon Mount Sinai. You remember that the Hebrews had said to Moses, "Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, we will listen and obey." That's how they responded. Then verse 28, "The Lord heard when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to you." God can hear these people talking to Moses. God can read our hearts, of course. He knows what's within us. This is not the people responding to God. It's they're responding to Moses, but they're responding to God through Moses, of course. But God has heard it. And he speaks to them, "I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good." God heard it all. And God spoke back to the people through Moses. And it was all good, he said. And then you get this tremendous statement, verse 29. Oh, the passion here. Oh, this fervency of God, this earnestness of God. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. How do you read this? Well, it's God speaking as a man would speak. I won't go into tremendous detail now. I have in my book, The Gospel Offer is Free. I've gone into this. God speaks like this very often in Scripture. Oh, that they would do this. Oh, that they would do that. I wish that they would do the other. Now, in a very real sense, you can't talk about God wishing, but he is pleased to reveal himself as having a will of decree and a will of desire. And here is God's desire. He's speaking as a man. This is what would please him. Oh, that their hearts. That's what God wants. He wants the heart of his people to be inclined to me, to fear my word, to fear me, so that it might go well with them, that they might obey all my word, not just listen to it. They might keep all my commands. They might keep my covenant. Oh, that they would, and I would bless them. This is the old covenant. This is clearly what it's about. So when Israel breaks the covenant, as they do so very often, they're offending, not against law only, but against this desire of God, this love of God, this wish of God, this wanting of God. I'm not belittling God by talking in these terms. God himself is doing it, and he's showing his passion and his concern. Now, what about the new covenant? Well, it's even stronger in the new covenant. Have you never read John 3:16? "For God so loved the world," so loved the world, "that he gave his only begotten Son." Why? Well, he had a desire here, that whosoever believeth in him, whoever trusts Christ, shall be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That wasn't why God sent Christ in the first instance. Christ will come again to judge the world, that's true. But in this first coming, why did God send his Son? Why did Christ come? Why is the Spirit here working? Why did Christ die? It is the desire that God should see sinners saved. You might say, well, why doesn't God save every sinner then? I can't answer such questions. All I know is that God shows me, 1 Timothy 2, 2 Peter 3, John 3, I don't know, many, many places, scores and scores of places, God shows his willingness to save you. Oh, that you would come. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you, but you were not willing. This is the gospel. I have no doubt what God's desire is. Why will you die, he says to the unbeliever. Why will you disobey me, he says to the believer. Let me say that again. To the unbeliever, God says, why will you die? And to the believer, he says, why will you disobey? Oh, this word "oh" here in verse 29. Oh, that's in the gospel. God's willingness, God's earnestness, God's desire to see sinners saved. Well, does this affect us? I address myself as a preacher. Now I address you if you're a preacher. All believers are preachers in some way or other. 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the fear of God, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing the judgment of God, we try to persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:11, why do I try to persuade sinners to believe and trust in Christ, repent and turn to Christ? Because of the judgment. Because if they will not repent, if they will not trust Christ, they will perish. But in that same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ compels us. Why do I want to see sinners saved? I hope it's out of love for them. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The love of God is there. And I want that love too. Oh, that they would come. Oh, why would you perish, sinners? Souls of men, why will you die? Why will you go away from Christ? Robert Murray McChain, you felt it was said. See what people said about him. You felt, you knew, he was a dying to have you converted. The passion, the earnestness, the feeling, the fervency in it. This is a silly illustration. I only use it in one respect. I've seen many videos or films of Adolf Hitler speaking. Now, I don't understand much German, but I know he's passionate when he's speaking, and how he moves the crowd. And this is how preachers should be, passionate about wanting people, sinners, saved, and the saints edified. That applies to me as a preacher, and it applies to all preachers, and more believers are preachers. But it's not only as preaching. God wants me to fear him. Oh, that I would fear him. That's what God said. Oh, you would fear me. Oh, that you would love me. Oh, that you would listen to my word. Oh, that you would obey my word. It's a word for the believer and the unbeliever. And may God speak to us and write this passion, this oh, this desire in our hearts, so that we may be God-fearers, lovers of God, obedient to his word, listening to it, and pleasing God in every way. Not only because he commands it, but because it is his desire to see us in that way. And all for our good, that it may go well with them and God bless them. Of course, it's not material benefit in the new covenant, it's eternal salvation. What could be greater than that? Oh, may God bless this word to us all. May it turn many poor sinners to Christ. Lord, descend and make 1,000 hearts your own. And edify all the saints for the glory of God in Christ. Amen.